I kind of feel like we've already had our message and our sermon and all of the things that have been shared this morning. It's been rich, and let's continue on. The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of John, chapter 1, I should say. And I read from the New International Version most of the time, and that's what I'll be reading from this morning. If you want to open your Bibles and follow along. It's interesting. This has been an interesting process. All that I want to do and feel like I can do is share with you some of the thoughts that and reflections that God's been allowing me to take part in, and hopefully sharing some light with me. And I want to just share those things with you. So here I have about 11 or 12 pages, but I don't know, maybe I'll just talk with you for a bit and see how it goes, and then, you know, maybe I'll go to about here just in case I lose. So, Scripture says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It said that all things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing's been made that has been made. In Genesis 1:1 it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void. And it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the darkness, and then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it was the evening and the morning, and it was the first day, the beginning. And I honestly think that as I was reflecting through this, I was trying to put this together, and I think John knew, he obviously knew Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5, and I think when he wrote his John 1, 1 to 5, he was intentionally, now I could be wrong, nobody can prove me wrong though, I think he was intentionally trying to connect, saying Jesus is God, and he was there in the beginning, and he was with God, and he is co-creator, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. God, I do thank you that your word is a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet, or vice versa. And I thank you that when we take time in your word, we dwell there, we spend time there, that you reflect to us truth. And you wrap it in grace, because we need to know how to live in this world. And we heard this morning that there's so many pockets where you are so desperately needed. In our human understanding, help us to know that you can step into and will step into those places, and in your providence, work them out for your glory and our good, even if we can't see it completely. So this morning at breakfast, this is where we talk. Rowan, our little grandson's 5, and he says, Papa, he says, I know something you can't see when it's foggy. And then he says, the sun. But it's still there. And then I was walking in this morning and had the privilege of walking in with Robbie. We've talked about Robbie and what a blessing she is to us. And she was walking in and she says, I love the light, she said. And I love the lights. And we were looking at all the lights, and you come in here and it's beautiful. And then we come in and the candles gets ignited and represents Christ, the light of the world. I think that when we walk in darkness, which we do all the time, we have this place where we can't see God. And John in his scripture says, as he continues on, he says, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He steps into the darkness. He comes to that which was his own. And to all who receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. And he says, it says here that the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So, God, by becoming human in Jesus, he showed humanity the fulfillment of many things. One of them was Isaiah's prophecy, where I think it's Isaiah 9, where he says that Jesus will come and be a light unto the world. Says that, who can help me with this? That's Jesus comes, you will be the light of the world. Isaiah, you know, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. So he's establishing an order, I think, connecting it, John is connecting it to Isaiah. Establishing a new order, a new kingdom with new rules. Jesus came to start, I believe, a new beginning, a new creation within an already existing creation. Paul in Colossians 1:13-16 calls Jesus the firstborn over all creation, referring to his entrance as an earthborn child, saying, God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things are created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the church, the body. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood, Jesus' blood shed on the cross. When the Spirit hovered over the earth and it was formless and void in Genesis, I want to refer to that now, because I believe that in the beginning, God was creating something out of nothing. And this, I think he recreated, in the earth, he recreated something that was not there, or he put something in that wasn't there, and that's God himself in the flesh walking with us. He came to fill, as Genesis put it, the formless empty void. Not the circular planet we live on, but the circular void that exists inside of each of us without him, without God. He came to fill human emptiness and longing. He came to reconcile us to God. He came to forgive our sins by dying on the cross. He came to rise again and offer us eternal life. He came to set us free from sin and darkness. I read this little story about a boy who said to his mother, "Mother, how can I help?" And she's in the kitchen and it's night time. And she says, "Well, you can get the broom." And he goes, "Okay, where is it?" She said, "It's out on the porch." He says, "But Mom, it's dark outside and I'm afraid." And she thought, this is a good moment to teach my kids. She said, "It's okay. Jesus is with you. He'll be with you wherever you go. He's out there." So the little boy thought about this and he went to the door. He opened it up a little crack and he looked out and he said, "Jesus, if you're out there, can you hand me the broom?" Sometimes we just want to touch him. We want to... His coming signaled a new beginning. Beginning of a new kingdom that is eternal, without end, a spiritual kingdom that cannot and will not be overcome by darkness. Why? Because Jesus is God. And we know from 1 John 1:5 that God is light, this is verse 5, in him there is no darkness at all. So we need no longer, those of us who are in Christ, to walk in despair, because in relationship with Jesus Christ, we are no longer separated from God. Remember, God is light and only light, because in him there is no darkness. The light will not be overcome by darkness of any kind when we are walking in Christ. Pain, sorrow, despair, fear, hopelessness. When the darkness of these things comes our way, they'll be overcome by light. And I believe Jesus didn't come to bring the light. Jesus is the light. He is the light of the world. And it gets better, I guess, if you can say it gets better. Christ, knowing his time to leave, after he'd been here for a while walking with us, he said in John 14 that he wouldn't leave us alone as orphans. One of the songs this morning, we will not be left alone as orphans, but he would send us a gift from his Father. He would send us the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us in all truth and comfort us. to be with us and to be in us forever. That's a long time. It's longer than the time we have on earth. And sometimes our perspective is, we don't have the perspective to understand what that is. This is the time we have here. I know that for myself, I can spend time in the darkness as a Christian. And I don't know about you, but I know that the light of Christ is in me. And we have eternal life, because John 11:26 says, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And whoever believes in me and lives will never die. And then he tells us he's gone to prepare a place for us, and he'll come back to take us there. Well, let's stop for a minute. Until that happens, we need to live for Christ in the here and now, don't we? Yeah, we need to be a light for Jesus in this dark world. Jesus wants to change us first from the inside out, and he wants the light, his light, to shine out of us, right? But first he wants to restore us, he wants to heal us, he wants his light to do its work in us. This restoration process, it is a process, and it comes as we recognize that he, Jesus, can change us. The Holy Spirit living in us can change us so that we can become children of light, overcomers in a dark world. And in his infinite, unfailing wisdom and mercy, he does this by infusing light with truth and grace. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So I'm wondering if this is a kingdom principle. Let me try to explain it. When light shines in darkness, darkness is either displaced or expelled. And if there's something there in the darkness, it's exposed, right? And this can be good or it can be bad. It's good if I'm walking in the darkness and I bump into the coffee table, I turn on the light and I see it. But it's not so good if the coffee table ends up to be my neighbor's pit bull. It's some things you can get around and other things you just have to remove, right? So truth is good for us if it clarifies things that seem confusing or uncertain. In the case of the pit bull, it's potentially dangerous or harmful. Discerning what is true allows us to proceed with certainty. For example, if one of my students says to me, somebody stole my pencil, and then two other students or three even better come and say, oh, I saw it, I know what happened. I now have some information to deal with this, and I like it, it helps me to be able to find out how to move from here. But there are times when truth is revealed and I don't like it. So when I'm hiding something that's terrible or awful or shameful or hurtful, and I don't want it to be brought out into the light, my first response metaphorically is to gasp and sort of try to hide it, you know, scramble around and try to drag whatever it is back into the darkness so that it's not exposed. Does that make sense? Inside we all carry these things that are deep, but when God shines his light on them, and we see the truth of it, I move back into the darkness. Not as we know in Christ, he is the light, and in him there's no darkness at all, but there's darkness in us. And so, as I don't like it, and I try to drag it back into the darkness, if I am willing to spend time with it, and dwell in that moment when God is trying to teach me, then, by his grace and his kindness, because it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, there can be a change in my life. But if his truth didn't come with grace, I think we'd all be done for. But it does come with grace. When he shines the light in my life and he says, Greg, this is where I need you to look. If it wasn't for his grace, I could never stand up under it. But the beauty of God is he loves us so much that when we tell him we're sorry by his grace, he every time wraps us in his overcoming grace, and he purifies us from all unrighteousness. I didn't read it, but that's what it says in verse 6 and to 8 of 1 John. And moving from, he moves us from darkness into light at that moment, because light dispels darkness and exposes and reveals something, but it also brings comfort and clarity and beauty, and it, eventually it brings life. Truth convicts us, it directs us, but it also frees us, and grace covers and protects and restores. So most often God reveals himself to us in those times where we will spend and spend time and meditate in his light, and that's usually around reading his word. It isn't that we open our Bible and we look for something and find it. I think it's more like we open our Bible and God points it out to us. And we need to go with a heart searching. But it's easy. I mean, we can search for passages to prove, and we do this all the time, to prove and support our stance, right? We can pull out passages of the Bible that support our views. But I find that when we just read with God's intention in mind, he reveals things to us. Have you ever noticed that it's easy to recognize God and acknowledge him and receive direction from his holy word in the good times? Notice that? He can, yeah, it's good, everything's going great, and I'm reading God's word, and wow, this is good. But it's difficult or challenging when it's not going so well. In fact, we often get discouraged or even disappointed in God. And I didn't know, this is what came to my mind at that point, is knowing that God does not change helps me to understand who needs to. Because in God there is no change. He is only light. I'll say it again. Knowing that God does not help me change. Knowing that God does not change helps me to understand who needs to change. Charles Stanley put it this way. He said, when life is pleasant, we find praising God becomes easy because kindness is abundantly evident. However, we may have difficulty recognizing pain and trouble as an expression of his loving care as well. In difficult times, we need to trust today's scripture, which tell us that the Lord has stored up goodness for those who find refuge in him. If you believe that God is only there when your circumstances are enjoyable, then you misunderstand his nature and have become numb to the expression of his benevolence toward you. Those who've learned to know his character and trust his ways can see evidence of his goodness in all situations. I would suggest, and think that Charles Stanley would agree, that when we dwell in the light of God's word, with a desire to hear his truth and receive it, our core attitudes can be changed, and we can receive his truth and his kingdom perspectives. We'll begin to see God's goodness and protection and divine providence, even in difficult and uncertain times. Dr. Stanley goes on to say, today when God does something I don't like, this is his words, I pour out my heart to him. After seeking his perspective and listening to him, I'm filled with gratitude and trust in his character. After seeking his perspective and listening to him, and he can trust his character, then I'm willing to accept the Father's wise choice for my life. I think that we can't, unless we're willing to spend time dwelling in that place and not run away from it when he speaks to us, real change won't happen. In the presence of his will, Charles Stanley says, he will show you truth. It may be some ugliness you need to recognize and repent of. It may be that we need to accept difficult circumstances, or it may be to confirm his unchanging, all-encompassing love for us, his children. Of course, it's a process. Fortunately, he sends his truth and grace with his light. Because in God, in his Holy Spirit living in us, not only do we have forgiveness, but we can have joy and despair, we can have peace and turmoil, and we can have hope and hopelessness. That is what the dark world needs. That's what we need. God did not leave us as fatherless children, but he sent his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to be with us forever. When we receive Jesus, the empty void in us is filled with the Spirit of the living God. In the beginning, the earth was formless and void, and he spoke into that space and creation, a new beginning. In Christ, when he stepped into the world as God's Son, he gives us an opportunity to see the face of God. When we receive God and ask him into our heart and our life, the Holy Spirit steps into our heart and into our life. He lives in us, and the light of God, in a place where there is no darkness at all, God himself dwells in us. That's amazing. We turn away often from his direction, or we stay away from his word, but he is there. Emmanuel, God with us. Like it was in the beginning when God the Father walked in the garden, like it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus entered the world and started a new beginning with his presence on earth, but this time in his perfect plan, God will remain with us forever. Because he said, I'm going to the Father and I will send you the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth will be in you and it will guide you and lead you. He, God, is with us, Emmanuel. The Spirit of God of everlasting love, comfort, and joy will remain in us, shining light and truth through his living word, Jesus Christ, into the darkness. It is in the dwelling, the time spent in the light, that God will challenge us to make deep change. His truth is sharp like a double-bladed sword, and it will cut to the very core of our attitudes, the attitudes of our sinful nature. It's in his dwelling also, the time spent in the light, that God will cover us in his grace and restore peace, comfort, and joy. It's in that place where light dispels darkness and truth and grace meet that we find the divine light. That's our wonderful, beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you that one thing we know for certain is that without you there's darkness. That when you came into the world, you brought light to all who would receive it. Lord, if there's anyone here who hasn't received you as their Lord and Savior, help them to see that without you, there's so much that is not there. And the first thing is light. Light for guidance, light for comfort, light for direction. And I pray that as we acknowledge you as the new beginning and the usher of a new kingdom, that we would recognize that there's a change that happens because of you. And I know that you work in mysterious ways and do things in our lives that we don't even understand, but I also know that you've called us to seek you out, to dwell in the light, so that we might become more like you. And that comes with, in the hard places, with wrestling with change that sometimes we don't want to do or even address. But Lord, you're trying to challenge us. Lord, give us hearts to stand in your presence, to dwell in your presence, so that we might understand you and see your direction for us. Thank you that you are the light of the world, and in you there is no darkness at all. Thank you that you came as a baby in human form to reveal yourself to us so that we might see and have a relationship with the one and true living God. We trust you, and we know that without you, we cannot do the things that you're wanting us so desperately to do, and that is be the light that shines into this dark world so that others might be able to see through us that you are the salvation of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.